Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Let's go to God in a word of prayer before my sermon. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us here this morning, that you would help us to have open and receptive hearts to your word and your calling. Lord, I pray that you would be with me and help me to bring your message and that you would be glorified. Amen. Jeffrey came to me about 3-4 weeks ago and asked me to preach and fill in for him. And I was a little bit surprised. Now, understand, I've preached a lot of times and taught a lot of lessons, but I wasn't really expecting Jeffrey to ask. Because when I came back to Glen Rock after 10 years in Hanover, I was just mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted from being a leader there in Hanover. When I came back to Glen Rock, the leadership asked if they should put me in the rotation of service, and I told them honestly that I needed time to rest and recover and renew my spirit. And they've been good with that. When Adam asked me about being put in the rotation, what I had told him was, don't unless I'm needed. If I'm needed, fine. But if you've got other men who can do it, I would appreciate if you didn't just now. And he was been good about that too. So when Jeffrey came and asked me to preach, I was a little bit surprised, but I said without a hesitation, yes. Because, well, like I had said to Adam, if I'm needed, I'll fill in. And that's what I want to do. I will serve where I'm needed. But I have to tell you that I had a lot of uncertainty in my mind about it. I felt a lot of uncertainty and doubted my preparedness to step back into the pulpit and preach again. After that time in Hanover, I was exhausted, and when the work there failed, for the first time in my life, I really began to doubt. I didn't doubt God. I have never doubted God, but I really began to have serious doubts about myself. Can I do this? Should I do this? I had doubts about my own fitness for the work. So a couple of years ago, I spent some time in counseling with Alan McKinney, talking to him about that. We talked about my doubts, my fears, talked about a lot of things. We studied some scripture, we prayed together, and it was very helpful to me. And then one night, he said, when will you be ready to serve again? Well, I said to him, I said, certainly not now. I didn't feel like it at that point. And to his credit, he looked at me again and said, but when will you be ready to serve again? Make sure you're not just walking away and not serving. And so when Jeffrey came and asked, my answer to Alan that night was in the back of my mind. What I said to Alan, my answer was, if 2, 3, 4 years from now you still see me sitting on the sidelines, then we'll know there's a problem. And that was in the back of my mind when Jeffrey came to me. He suggested that I preach on prayer. And so I started preparing for that. But I have to tell you honestly that while I was thinking and studying and praying, in the back of my mind, those fears and doubts were nagging. And I was wrestling with that. I really was. As I continually kept coming back to those fears, can I do this? again. One scripture kept coming back to my mind over and over again. The scripture that we're going to talk about this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. I realized that I needed to preach what was in my heart and what was in my mind. And so I decided that I would preach about that this morning, because I knew that it was a lesson that I needed to hear and one that I needed to put into practice. And I also believe and hope that it's a lesson that we can all benefit from. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. We can't allow our fears and our doubts to prevent us from living and serving Him. We need to go boldly out and serve God. If we are not currently serving in some way, we should be willing to step up and to serve in some way. There are so many things going on in this congregation, so many opportunities to serve. We should take and avail ourselves to the opportunity. Because there are so many Christians at Glen Rock that are serving and going forward boldly, that's why I entitled the lesson this morning, Keep Going Boldly, because I know there are a lot of men and women who are serving and serving well. Rick Perdue has been teaching in a Sunday morning Bible class for the adults, having spiritual conversations, and he points out, it's easy. You don't need to have a PhD in theology just to engage somebody in a spiritual conversation. It's easy. It's something we can all do. And that's really his point. It's something that we can all do. All we need to do is to have a heart for God and to be intentional about it. And we can make it happen. Those spiritual conversations are a good starting point. It opens a door and perhaps gives us the opportunity to share the gospel. Having those conversations is easy. The gospel plan is easy. We all know it. We're all Christians. We're gathered here this morning. We hear and we understand the word. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We repent of our sins. We confess that Christ is our Savior. And we're baptized for the remission of sins. It's a very simple lesson. Very simple story to tell. And if it's so simple, why don't we do it more often? Why don't we share the gospel more often and more boldly? And the answer to that is simple: because we're afraid. We're afraid of criticism. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of possible consequences of sharing our faith openly. But remember, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. We have power. Power through the Holy Spirit to be bold and to share the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul writes, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us." In Ephesians chapter 6, 19 and 20, Paul writes, "Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought." Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and following. Devote yourselves to prayer, praying at the same time for us that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders and make the most of the opportunity. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Mark chapter 13, verse 11, do not worry beforehand about what you're to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. And finally in John it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. We have the Holy Spirit. We have power that we can bring to bear. If we go to God in prayer, we can bring that Holy Spirit to guide us. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love. Love. We need to be motivated by a spirit of love. We should want to share the gospel because we love God and we want to please Him. But we should also do it because we love our neighbors. If we truly love our family, our friends, our co-workers, we should want to share the gospel with them. We should want them to know what we know. We want them to be in heaven with us someday. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we truly love our neighbor, shouldn't we be motivated to be speaking to them, having those spiritual conversations? For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and self-discipline. Three, we need to practice self-discipline. We need to be self-disciplined, not just to do the things that are easy, but to do the hard things too. For people of my age and older, and there are a number of you out there, we can still remember the words of John F. Kennedy at Rice University. I mean, I can still hear it in my head, can't you? We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. He said, because they are hard. I can still, that's the way it is in my head. I can't say it any other way. We do the hard things in spite of the fact that they're hard. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. For most of us, speaking the gospel boldly is hard because we do fear rejection or criticism or possible consequences if we're sharing the gospel openly at work, whatever. The Hebrew writer in chapter 13, starting in verse 5, says, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Moreover, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul writes, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Wow. When my wife and I got married and we first started studying the Bible together and we were reading all those stories together, when you think about being imitators of the apostles and of Christ, wow, that's a little scary. Why? Because when you read the scriptures, when you read the New Testament, you don't see too many cases. Well, you don't see any cases in there where people were serving half-heartedly, serving when it was convenient. They were doing the hard thing. Wow, being an imitator of Paul, being an imitator of Christ, that's a little bit scary. Let's look at the example of the apostles. How did they go about sharing the gospel? In Acts chapter 4, 29 through 31, this is Peter. "And now, Lord, look at their hearts and grant it to your bondservants to speak your word with boldness, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore," Paul writes, "having such a hope," what hope is that? That hope that we all have, that hope and certainty of life eternal with him in heaven, if we are faithful to him. "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech." And Acts chapter 19, writing about Paul, verse 8, it says, "And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God." Paul and the apostles were speaking out boldly, and that's what we need to do. Now you might say, now wait a minute, Ken. I wasn't on the Damascus Road, and I didn't meet Jesus, and I didn't get the Holy Spirit poured into me. Well, wait a minute. We do have access to the Holy Spirit, don't we? But, they had it easy. They had God working on their side. Did they have it easy? No. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 21, where Paul tells you about how easy it was. "But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I am just as bold myself. Are there servants of Christ? I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten, times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times, Paul writes, I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." They didn't have it easy. They didn't have it easy, and they were men just like us. Wow. What's the scripture say again? "Be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ." We need to be imitators of Paul and the apostles. And yet, we get afraid of rejection. Oh, somebody might not be happy with what I said. They might criticize me. Really? Be imitators of Christ. Think about Christ. What did Christ face? What did Jesus face? I think of, you asked this morning, and I almost said it, but I didn't want to say it because I knew I was going to say it this morning. One of the favorite stories for me is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, the man, confronting the certain expectation of beatings and suffering and agony and cruel death on the cross. And worse yet, separation from the Father. Did Jesus turn away because he was afraid? He was certainly struggling. Just like I was struggling to prepare, I had those fears in the back of my mind. Jesus had much bigger fears. Well, what does he say? Let's read in Mark 14. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." Jesus, the man, was struggling. It wasn't easy for him. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began praying that if it were possible, that the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." Yet, not what I will, but what you will. And Christ prayed that. Jesus prayed that three times. "Father, if you can, take this cup away." What cup is he talking about? Again, you mentioned it this morning. You're trying to steal my fire. The cup of wrath. The cup of God's wrath. That's what Jesus was fearing. God's wrath. That which we read about in Isaiah, that he was told to pour out on the enemies of God. That wrath that is due us as sinners was poured out. Jesus. Did he turn away? No. Christ the man confronted his fears, that fearful expectation, and went boldly forward and served his Father. Surely if Jesus can do that, if the apostles can do what they did, we can summon the courage to speak to our brother, our co-worker, our neighbor, our friend about the life-saving gospel of Christ. Surely we can overcome our fears. There's so many ways for us to serve, and I encourage each one of us to find the courage to boldly serve as we can. Whatever your talent is, what is your talent? Whatever it is, resolve to use it for God. Be bold. And this is where you're very lucky. When I practiced this, I realized I had to cut some material out. God calls us to live and follow Him and to serve Him boldly. Now, each one of us is coming from a different place. Each one of us has different talents. But each one of us is coming from a different place. Some of us have been working and serving for decades. Others of us may feel like we're barely getting by. I felt a little bit like that this week as I was struggling, wrestling with those doubts that stay in the back of my head and only get pushed away when I turn to Scripture. God's calling each and every one of us to live and to serve boldly for Him. Maybe you've served boldly, but have gotten hurt. Maybe you tried serving boldly and faced failure, and it was painful. God loves you all the more for your service. And your service won't go unrewarded. Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much," and then the important part, the really important part, "and will inherit eternal life." Perhaps you're a Christian, but you're still struggling. I understand. We're not perfect. We all still have struggles. Perhaps your struggles are harder than others. Each one of us is coming from a different place. Perhaps your marriage and you're struggling to keep it together. Perhaps you're struggling with addiction to drugs or alcohol or gambling or pornography. Perhaps you're struggling with depression. Perhaps you've lost your job and you can't pay your bills. God still loves you. And God still is calling for you to serve. One of the things that I also learned many years ago is if you're feeling bad for yourself, you're feeling down, you're feeling sorry for yourself, that things are tough. My dad used to always say, you know, Ken, no matter what and where you are in life, there are always people who have it better than you, and there are people that have it harder than you. And we need to remember that. And if we're out there serving and helping, you'll realize that maybe even if we're struggling, there are people out there that may be struggling even against harder obstacles than you are. So go forth and boldly serve. Find whatever ministry fits your talents and get started. That's the essence of my message to you this morning. In just a moment, we're all going to have the opportunity to stand and sing. Perhaps you're here this morning and have not accepted Christ as your Savior. He's especially calling to you. He loves you and wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. If you want to become a follower of Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing, and one of the elders will come and speak to you about your commitment. Let's all stand and sing together.